So this morning, and in several mornings from now, we're going to look at an important subject. The priesthood of the believer in Christ. The priesthood, or our priesthood in Christ. Our priesthood. Priesthood, P-R-I-E-S-T. Priesthood. Your priesthood in Christ. What does it mean? What does it entail? What does it involve? What is it about? Our priesthood in Christ. Say, our priesthood in Christ. You're born again, say, my priesthood in Christ. Those seem to agree with it. Say it again, my priesthood in Christ. And you need to appreciate this. 1 Peter chapter 2, now don't forget Philemon 6, that which says that we should acknowledge whatever is ours in Christ. Whatever belongs to us. And that's the way we can make make progress in the things of God. You see that many people have been born again for years, but they have not made progress save to just had number of years of the conversion. They really have made no progress. You can't see really in their lives that there's an improvement in their conduct or in their work, because this is lacking, and lacking as the case may be. 1 Peter 2 and 5. Now, I'm going to read from verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? Now observe what he says. To whom coming as unto a living stone. So he calls Jesus a living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That is Psalm 118 verse 22. And he says in verse 5, you also, hallelujah. He said what? You also. Use also for semblance. You also, that is you that I'm writing to. Now he has described Jesus as a living stone. He says you also as living stone. Say I'm a living stone. You don't seem to agree with that. Say I'm a living stone. That word living stone there was put by the translators because they didn't want to equate Jesus with you. But that's exactly what the scripture is saying. You also as living stones. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Say, I'm a living stone. That's something about you. You are a living stone. So you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. See that? You are built up a spiritual house. What else? An holy priesthood. Now, when people are looking for holiness, I know I seem to shudder what they're talking about. Now, Peter had spoken in chapter 1, of the same verse. And in verse 15 and 16, where he says that, be holy as the Lord is holy. And he wasn't speaking in verse 16 to Christians to be holy. He actually spoke about holiness in our conduct, not in our nature. Because we have been made holy. You see, you will not be called a holy priesthood if you are not holy. See, he says here that as living stones, you are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So it says that we are a holy priesthood. Say we are a holy priesthood. Okay, that's it. We are a holy priesthood. It says we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. You see that in Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. Unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. That's the foundation. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now I want us to take verse 9 together. 1, 2, go. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy. Can you say amen? Now, what does he call you in verse 9? Now, change verse 9 to we. So that doesn't look like you're right talking about somebody else. Let's go. Once you go. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praise of him who has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, which time past were not a people, are now people of God, which had not obtained mercy. Can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Revelation chapter 1. And verse 5. This is Jesus. Start from 4. John to the seven churches which were in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. From the seven spirits which are before his throne. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of what? The kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now let us take verse 6 together, 1 to go. And has made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion. What have we been made? Kings and priests. Chapter 5. Verse 9. I'll start from verse 8. And when he had taken the book and the four priests, and 4 and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden veils full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Let's take 9 together. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Stand together, everybody, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Can you say hallelujah to that? So he calls everybody who is washed by the blood of the Lamb a priest. He says a king and a priest. And he didn't say a king and a priest in heaven. He said a king and a priest where? On earth. So whenever you see, we're going to see that in this series, Jesus is called the King of Kings. He's not called the King of the above Lagos. Alright? The above Lagos is respected. Interestingly, I'm the son of a king myself. I'm the crown prince myself. But he's not talking about the king of that kind of king. When he refers to the King of Kings, he's referring to the King of King Spiritual. King Spiritual on the earth. And King Spiritual on the earth are those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Those who have been justified by the blood of the Lamb. Those who have been called of God as kings. They're not chosen by men. We're chosen by God. So, we're looking at kings and we're looking at priests. Alright? So, who is a priest? That's the first question. Who is a priest? You have to understand what a priest is before you now appreciate what it means to be a priest. A holy priesthood or a priest unto God in the earth. You know, you have to know what a priest is. You know, many folks don't know what a Christian is. They don't know what a Christian is. Remember one fellow one time some years back, we were talking about the new creation. So he said, all these new creation realities you're always talking about. He said, but I thought it was for first timers, new converts. I said, so what are you, an old creation? Interesting to understand. Because he's used to saying new creation to people who just got born again. So people sometimes do not know the meaning of terms they use. They use it in church, they confess after the pastor, but they don't understand what it means. For instance, people use a word like, I gave my life to Christ, without asking where is it in the Bible, because there's nothing like that in the Bible. You only give your life to Christ after you are born again. Then you now dedicate yourself to the service of God. That's what it means to give your life to Christ. But what you do when you get born again is not give your life to Christ, it's to receive from Jesus. You do not give, you receive. John 1:12, as many as receive him. That's what happens to you. You receive. John 3:16, he that believes will receive or has eternal life. John 6:47, the same thing. You don't give God to receive from God at salvation. You receive from God at salvation, then you give in service to him. You don't give to receive, rather you give because you have received. Let me see if that's clear to you. So those are terms people have been using over the years, but they don't know what it means. So that's the essence of coming to church. Church is the school of the word. Church is where we teach you. Church is where we train you in the word of God. Church is not where you come and have a great time. Church is not where you come to you know, just obey all sacrifice or all righteousness as the case may be. Church is where you learn and you know God and you know your son Jesus Christ. That's what happens in church. So, who is a priest? Now, you can only understand priest because you notice that the word priest was used by two major speakers or writers in the Bible. On the epistles, pardon me. Peter, and then the writer of Hebrews. And you discover that they use those words, the word priest, because they were talking to people who understood who a priest was. Jews. Jews know, or still know, or knew, who a priest is. Now, John now had something to it that, you know, broadens our scope. John says, of every tribe, and every tongue, and every kindred on the earth. Of every tribe, of every kindred. Now, if he has said every tribe, easy to say, well, that is every tribe of Israel. But he said, every nation. That shows you he's not referring to Israel. So, John brought his scope to understand that priests are not referring to only Jews. So, we are therefore, rest assured that when we use the word priesthood to believers, you know, we are safe. Now, Paul, who wrote majorly to Gentiles, doesn't use the term. It doesn't mean that that term is not applicable to Gentile believers. It is, but Paul doesn't use the term. Because writing to the Corinthian church, practically, which was mixed Jew and Gentile, writing to the Roman church, which was also mixed, writing to the Ephesians, strictly Jews, they're Gentiles, the Colossians, Philippians, are strictly Gentiles. So, you hardly will find him use the word priests, you know, and all that. You also discover that he doesn't use the word, some words doesn't use because he's talking to people who did not have the prior information of the old covenant. But when we use the word priesthood, it's safe because Peter lets us know that it's a chosen generation. Okay? So it's not to the Jews. It talks about those who have believed. So that's clear. So when John also in the vision mentions it, he says from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. So we can readily use it, you know, safely as a Bible doctrine. Let me see if that's clear what I just said now. Okay, beautiful. So, in all Bible interpretation, one thing is key. As you read the Bible, there's something people have helped us to use. It's called the law of first mention. Where was it first mentioned? Where was the word priest first used in the Bible? That allows us to see or have an idea of what a priest is. In Bible interpretation, there are some guides. Or some guides. Firstly, because you must be able to teach a doctrine from all the scriptures. All the scriptures. In Luke chapter 24, the Bible says Jesus took them through all the scriptures. Verse 26, verse 27, he took them through all the scriptures in teaching. In Luke 24 again, verse 44, 45 and 46, Bible says Jesus took them through the Moses in the law, David in the Psalms, and all the prophets. So, that's the way to teach a Bible doctrine. So, we're going to do the same thing here. We're going to take it from all the scriptures. So, when I say all the scriptures, that means we're going to have mention from what Moses said, mention from what the prophet said, and then mention from what David said, and mention from what Jesus said, and then most importantly, a mention from what the epistles teach, because the epistles were what were written to us. So in normal Bible interpretation, I gave this, because I learned it too. Number one, you will see it in the book of Genesis in a germ form. That is, in a seed form. It's developing. The doctrine will be seen in the book of Genesis in a germ form. Righteousness was first mentioned in Genesis. Genesis 15:16. Abraham, Bible says, Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So, we can see that righteousness was seen clearly, it was not of works. That's seen from Genesis. Faith can be seen from Genesis. You can see salvation from Genesis. You can see marriage from Genesis. You can see holiness from Genesis. Right? So, Genesis, then you see it in the law of Moses as a type and a shadow. Any doctrine will be seen in Genesis in a germ form. You see the law of Moses as a type and a shadow. You see it in the sacred songs of David. That's the Psalms. Because Jesus separates the Psalms. He calls it in the Psalms. Then you see it again in the prophets as a prophecy. You see the prophet as a prophecy. Then you see it in Jesus' teachings, which were never complete. Because John 16, verse 11 and 12, Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all of the truth. So, Jesus' teachings were never complete. They only were pointers. They pointed us. Everything will always point you to the epistles. You will see it again in the Acts of the Apostles, Genesis, Psalms, the prophets, the law, the teachings of Jesus, then the Acts of the Apostles, the sixth rule. You see it in how the church practiced Christianity. The book of Acts of the Apostles is not a book of doctrine. It's a book of patterns. It was a church that grew in knowledge. Then lastly, and most importantly, you will see it in the epistles from Romans down as a doctrine. It will be explained to you. So, Genesis, you see it. You see it in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy as a type and shadow. You see it in Judges. You see it in Joshua. You see it in, you know, the books of Moses. You see it in the prophets. You see it, that's from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah. You see it there. You also see it in all the Psalms of David and of course in Asaph and all those spoken Psalms. And then David, Moses was also part of those who spoke in the book of Psalms. Then you see it in Jesus' teachings. Then in Acts of the Apostles. Then you see the same thing mentioned in the epistles. Now the Bible teaches that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So it's very wrong to take a scripture and build a doctrine on it. You have to have evidences all through the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is not a scripture. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for evidence. That is, you see evidence throughout the scriptures, and then it is profitable again for correction, and then for instruction in righteousness. Can I have an amen in the house? So the very first mention of the word priest is in Genesis 14. We're going to open to a couple of scriptures. Genesis 14. The very first time you see the word priest. Now, I'll give you the background. Abraham had gone to rescue Lot, his nephew, who had been invaded. Now, he came back from that rescue, and he brought back, verse 16, all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot. It's not good to just bring back all the goods without Lot. He brought back the goods and he brought back Lot. It's also not too nice to bring back Lot without the goods. So it's better to bring back the total deliverance. Lot and the goods. And it says, and his goods, and the women also, thank God for women, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. And all the kings that were with him at the valley of Sherith, which is the king of Dales, King's Dale. And verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, also another king. There were kings there, not one king. Brought forth bread and wine. And he was a priest of the Most High God. He was the priest of the Most High God. He brought forth bread and wine. And he blessed him, verse 19, and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithe of all. So, he appears to Abraham, is called the priest of the Most High God. And Abraham, in turn, gives to Melchizedek a tithe of everything that he brought. Don't forget, the things that he brought were not his. They were things that belonged to Lot and his household. And then, of course, Lot's country. He gave a tenth of it. He had given the king of Sodom. He had given to Melchizedek just a tenth. Now, that's the first mention of the word priest. Now, you see a reference of this person in Psalm 110. Write it down because we're going to refer to it. Verse 4. Again, it's double reference in Hebrews 5, verse 6 and verse 10. Zechariah 6:13 mentions it in a form. So, book of Genesis readily acknowledges the priesthood. And he calls a man called Melchizedek a priest of the Most High God. Notice what he is. He's a priest of the Most High God. Not just a priest, but he's a priest of the Most High God. So priests must be defined by who they represent or who they serve. Are we together? Beautiful. Now, I told you, don't forget, there's a reference in Psalm 110 verse 4, Hebrews 5 verse 6 and verse 10 of this same person. So, there's a person we have who was first called a priest in the Bible, and his name is Melchizedek. So, be Melchizedek. Come on, say it again. Melchizedek. Very good. So, that's the first reference we have. Now, what's the meaning of the word priest? What's the meaning? There must be a meaning of the word priest. Where is a priest, for instance? In Nigerian terms, you could mean many things, because you go to your town, it could mean something. If you call on the Catholic Church, it could mean something else. You know, so sometimes we have English words like that, or words from the Bible that are translated in a way that may not have its exact meaning in English, so we have to resort to the originals and then understand what it means. So the word priest has two words, you know, or practically a word, is the word Kohen. Kohen. The word Kohen. The word Kohen is taken from the Hebrew word Kahan. K-A-H-A-N. Now why did I go into all that? Because the word priest is derived from priesthood. To be a priest is derived from the word priesthood. Now, the word Kahan means, that's what defines priesthood. It means to be a mediator. It's to mediate, pardon me. To be in between two people. That is, Anu wants to talk to him, right? But something separates both of them. They cannot hear themselves. Okay? And maybe you speak English, he speaks French. He doesn't listen, he doesn't understand French. You don't understand, English, you don't understand French. So, we now put something in between them that when she talks, it translates to French. When he talks, it translates to English. That thing is priest, is a priesthood. Are we together? Now, when someone occupies it, that's the Kohen, is acting as the priest. That translator, the mediator between two parties who do not have one identity. Is that clear? Good. Alright. So, that's why he said the priest of the Most High God, right? And Abraham related with him to God. So what Melchizedek did there was to mediate between God and Abraham. Let's leave that. That's not even the subject. So, mediate, that means to do on behalf of. On behalf of. So the priest ministers. Now, notice this definition I'm going to give you now. Don't lose it. The priest, therefore, is not the mediator per se. The priest ministers the mediation. He is a minister of the mediation. That's why I gave you two words. Mediation and the mediator. Or mediation and the minister of the mediation. He ministers the mediation. So our attention should not exactly be on the priest, but on the action, the mediation itself. So, later on, we see the second mention is in Exodus chapter 19. Now you'll have seen other people call the priest of Midian before this, but I'm talking about those that were referred to as priests of God. Exodus 19, God spoke clearly to Israel. Exodus 19, verse 6. This was after they came out of Egypt. Now, this is where Peter, I told you before, the epistles were not written on their own. The epistles were written from the Old Testament. They were explanation of the Old Testament. That's why I gave you a double reference about the word priesthood. Exodus 19. God is speaking now to the children of Israel. He says, and Moses went up to verse 3 unto God, and the Lord called him, called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thou shalt say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Now I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed. Now, what we hear, if you will obey my voice, Hebrews 3, verse 17, lets us know that it's talking about Jesus Christ. If you will believe the gospel, that's what he's saying here. If you will believe the gospel, if you obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be what? A peculiar what? Oh, come on, you didn't get that. A peculiar what? Treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. That's where Peter got, you are a peculiar people. Why? Don't forget, Peter said, because you have believed in Jesus, you are a peculiar people. Same thing God said, if you will believe, you will be unto me. So, anybody who has believed the gospel is a peculiar treasure unto God above all people, for the earth is mine. Now look at verse 6, everybody together. One to go. And you shall be unto me, let's take that again. One to go. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now don't forget, what's the condition? If you will what? Believe. You will be unto me. That's where Peter got 1 Peter 2:9 from. So, he said, if you will be unto me, that's God's promise to Israel. Was predicated upon believing the word. Bible says that these people, the word spoken to them, Hebrews 4:2, did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. They did not believe. They did not enter into God's rest. God's rest is God's promise. They never entered into it. But that's not our issue this morning. Now look at Israel's response to that word. Exodus 20, verse 19. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Let him keep his promise. You spoke, speak with us. So, he was saying to Israel that Israel needed no priests. Are we together now? They were to be priests. They had no go in between them and God. But they said, we don't want to talk to God. We don't want to hear God. We want to hear you. So, what have they done? They have not believed what he said. Are we together here? Right, so, this never happened to Israel as a nation, but it happened to individuals who believed the gospel. So we'll just run through some scriptures about priesthood. Now a couple of scriptures to look at. Exodus chapter 28. So as the old covenant was now birthed, God now chose certain people out of the tribe of Israel who will act as priests. Exodus 28, verse 1. And take unto thee Aaron your brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that they minister unto me in the priest's office. Are we together? In the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Notice, Aaron, then, how many kids? Four. Aaron's sons. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory, and for beauty. So, look at verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom are filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto who? Me. In the priest's office. Observe that. He may minister unto me in the priest's office. Verse 4. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a broidered coat, a mitre, a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto what? Me. In the priest's office. Since he may minister unto me. Now look at chapter 29, verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them. The word hallow means holy. Hallow them to minister unto me in the priest's office. Again, to minister unto me. That's what it says. Unto me. So, the priest ministers to who? God. He ministers to God. He ministers to God. Now, let's see. Don't forget, the word priesthood is the word to mediate, to act, to minister mediation on behalf of one or another. So if you are to minister mediation, you are mediation to God on behalf of who we're going to see now. Again, one thing you say about priesthood is that priests were picked from a particular tribe, family, Levites, of whom Aaron belonged to, of whom Moses belonged to, because they were brothers. So he says, you, the Levites, Aaron will be the priest. So it's a family. It's not something you just wake up and say, I am a priest. No. You have to have belonged to this family. Notice the addressing. Chapter 28 again. So, in the dressing of the priest, the Bible says, in Exodus 28, verse 9, thou shalt make two orange stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of the names on one stone, six names on the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. That's according to how they were born. Genesis 35, verse 16, you will see that 12 sons of Jacob. Now, it says again, verse 12, thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of the memorial of the children of Israel, and stones shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. So they were to bear the name of the children of Israel before the Lord. Look at verse 21. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the gravings of a signet. Everyone with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. So, would that include their own tribe too? Yes. So they're going to mediate for themselves and then for the 12. Okay? Look at 29. Verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he shall go in into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the vessel of judgment the Urim and the Thurim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear what? The judgment. Shall bear what? The judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. So he's supposed to bear the judgment of the children of Israel before the Lord. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be an oil in the top of it, in the midst shall be a band of woven work, and you just go on and on. Now in verse 36, it says, shall be holiness, it says, unto the Lord. Now look at verse 38. It shall be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which of Israel shall allow in all their holy gifts, It shall be upon his forehead that he may be accepted before the Lord. So clearly, he is to bring the sin sacrifices and offerings of the children of Israel, including his own tribe, before the Lord. Look at verse 38. What read that? Verse 41. He says, and thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and thou shalt anoint them and consecrate them, and shall sanctify them, and they be ministers to me in the priest's office. He says, verse 42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach, and it shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, when they shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and when they shall come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, they shall bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute for unto him and his seeds after. Look at what he says. He says, when they shall come, if they come in and they bear not this iniquity, he says, they shall die. So there's a requirement. They must stand in this office. Now, I want to see a distinction. Only Aaron, the high priest, goes into the holiest of all. The others stay in the tabernacle. The tabernacle has two places. The very first place, they offer gifts and sacrifices. That's where they bring in the tithe. You have the storehouse. They bring in the tithe. They bring in the first fruits of their offerings. They bring in, you know, the meal offering, the wave offering, the wave offering. But only Aaron goes with blood into the holiest of all. His children dare not go in there. In fact, they dare not move close. Only Aaron the high priest, and he has a special garment for him. He will bear the iniquity of the people, then he will go with blood. He cannot go, and don't forget that blood is not just for the children of Israel, it's for himself. He has to go with blood. He cannot. The holiest of all is where the blood is shed. The blood of the covenant. Is that clear? Is that clear, everybody? Good. So, notice the distinctions. The children will minister with the gifts, the drinks, the sacrifices. Aaron will minister with the blood. It's such a strict law. It's such a strict regulation. Then Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, two of his children, who were priests, decided to do things by themselves. Leviticus 10:1. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, who were priests, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord. But he commanded them not. That was supposed to be for their father. And the Bible says, they went out far from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. But when you hear before the Lord, you're referring to the holiest of all. Then Moses said unto them, this is it that the Lord spoke unto you, I will be sanctified in them. That come near me, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Because Exodus 30 verse 9, God expressly said to them, you shall offer no strange incense thereon, no burnt sacrifices, no meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year. So it wasn't something that was frivolous. Now you see today, people abrogate themselves the responsibility of the high priest. You find Christians say, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I do this with the blood of Jesus. That's really unbelief. Because you are not the high priest. Only the high priest uses the blood in the holiest of all. We're going to see that in a moment. I remember years back, 1995, I think, or 6, I was teaching somewhere, and I said this, you know, I said, some people just bring a curse upon themselves. I was just really joking that day, but I was serious with the joke. And they said, I plead the blood of Jesus. I call myself the blood. I said, they are bringing a curse upon themselves because they are straying into someone else's office. That's not your role. That's not your role. That's the role of Aaron, the high priest under the old covenant. As we're going to see in a moment, Jesus Christ, our high priest. So, notice this. The blood was for the high priest in the holiest of all. Don't offer strange fire. Don't do what is not your role or your responsibility. You say, well, but so many Christians are covering themselves with the blood of Jesus. I'm pleading the blood, bad English. Pleading the blood of Jesus. Well, that means so many Christians are walking in unbelief. That's just what it means. Makes no difference. The number of people who are getting it wrong. The truth of the matter is that God's word does not respect persons and number. So fundamentally, you don't stray into another person's office. You don't do what is not prescribed in the scriptures to do. Now let's come to this dispensation. But still going back to the Old Testament, don't bother. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, clears these issues. The book of Hebrews clearly explains the priesthood of and in Christ Jesus. It's a book of types and shadows and the explanation of their reality. The very opening statement of the book of Hebrews goes like this. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, in time past, spoke unto our fathers by the prophets. So that means, before now, God spoke in types and shadows and figures of speech. But it says in verse 2, Hebrews 1, 2, but now he has spoken in Jesus Christ. So we can readily see the explanation of all these customs and ceremonies in what Jesus did. That's why the book of Hebrews is a book of types and shadows and the reality. In fact, Hebrews 10:1 says, the law, having a shadow of good things to come, so the law is a shadow. Show me the law is a shadow. Shadow means a figurative expression, a figure of speech, something that is likened unto the reality. So Hebrews chapter 2, we have a mention of this priesthood. I get something out of this? Talk to me, I get something out of this? Beautiful. Hebrews 2, talking about Jesus, it says, wherefore, in all things, verse 17, it behoves him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful what? High priest. Hebrews 2:17. In things pertaining to God. Don't forget, it's always to who? Priesthood is always to who? God. Okay. Things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's Jesus. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 3 and 1. Let's take it together. One to go. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. Now you see the word apostle was never again used for Jesus. Why? Because the apostle used, the word apostle used here was a verb. That is, this person was sent to be your high priest. Jesus is not an apostle and a high priest. No. He's an apostle sent. Somebody, the word apostle is a sent one. Somebody was chosen and sent to be a high priest. It's never repeated again. So calling Jesus an apostle is an aberration. It doesn't have a doctrinal foundation. He's not anybody's apostle. But what he did was apostolic in the sense of he was sent to be the high priest. He says, the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. So, what he takes before God is our confession. The word there is profession. The Greek word homologia. We're going to see where that comes in a moment. So he calls Jesus high priest in chapter 2, verse 17. Calls Jesus high priest, chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest. Hallelujah. Say a great high priest. He's a great high priest. Which is passed. It's not something he's about to do. Which is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, profession. Verse 15. Wherefore, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, for he was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he's a high priest again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and receive grace to find help in time of need. That's the Jews can readily understand that. When it says throne of grace, is referring to what was in behind the veil. Now, that's not something that you do daily. That's something you do once. We'll see that much later. Chapter 5 verse 1. For every high priest is taken from among who? So a high priest must be a man. Ordained for men in things pertaining to God. That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for what? Sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant, on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. By reason thereof, he offers for the people to also offer for himself, for his own sins. So, the high priest of the old covenant offered for the people and offered for himself. I think we read that together earlier on. Good. Verse 4. And no man takes this honor unto himself. You don't arrogate this or accrue this kind of responsibility to yourself. You don't do it unto himself. But he that is called of God as was Aaron. So it has to be something God designated for somebody. Verse 5. So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Quoting from Psalm 2 verse 7. Then verse 6. He said also in another place, Psalm 110, verse 4, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thou art a priest forever. So Jesus is called a priest. Verse 8, Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Can we take verse 9 together? Want to go? And being made perfect, he became the author of what? Of what? Unto all them that. So if Jesus is the high priest, he has offered what? Eternal salvation. He doesn't offer temporary, it can be lost kind of salvation. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Okay? Don't forget we have seen Melchizedek. Don't lose Melchizedek. Verse 20 chapter 6. Don't forget the high priest goes in behind the veil to the holiest of all. Chapter 6 verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us what? Enter. Even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he has gone behind the priest, behind the veil, he was made a priest, then he has gone behind the veil for us. So, note this. Jesus does has performed the work of an high priest. He has gone behind the veil. We have seen that. He has performed the work of an high priest. How do we know? Hebrews 5:9 says he has offered unto all that believe eternal salvation. Hebrews 7. I'll read a couple of scriptures for you. Verse 11. Okay, I'll just take verse 5, and then I'll take verse 11. Verse 5. Verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have, we read this earlier, right? Okay. Have a commandment to take what? Tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, let's just stop there. So tithe was for what? Just be intelligent now. The priests took the gifts of the people for what? They are to mediate on behalf of what to God for the people? Sins. So tithe is for what? Are we together here? It's for what? is for what? Sins. Is it for prosperity? Huh? For financial progress? No. They received it on behalf of the people and then took it to God. God didn't eat it. They ate it actually. Took it to God. Alright? So, that was labor. Good. Now, look at it. It says, according to the law, it was brethren through, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them receives tithes of Abraham. That is, Melchizedek did not come from Abraham, but he did receive from Abraham. And blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradictions, the less is blessed of the better. Here men that die receives tithes. But here, he of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And as I may also say, Levi also, who received tithe, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. You understand what that means? That means he did it on behalf of his own people. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it, the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Are you following this argument? Are you following this? Good. So he's going to differentiate between two priesthoods for you now. One is from Melchizedek before Abraham. One is from Levi, a son of Abraham. And he's saying Abraham himself paid tithe to this Melchizedek, whereas his children are receiving tithe of their own brethren. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham and he said, look, the lesser is blessed than the greater. So he's saying there's a higher priesthood than of Aaron. Are you following what I'm saying here now? Are you following the argument? Now follow on. Verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. That is, God now spoke after and says, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he's saying to you that the person that this person, this prophecy is spoken of in Psalm 110 verse 4, he says he is not from Levi. He is not from Aaron's tribe. He says, he is of whom the seed has spoken pertaining to another tribe, of whom no man gave attendance at the altar. They were never called. His own tribe never went to the altar. It is evident, let's take verse 14 together, I want to go. But it is evident our Lord sprang out of who? Of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. Are you following this? So Jesus cannot be a continuation of the Old Testament priesthood. Let me see if that's clear to you. Because that was dictated to have come from Aaron. He says, he came from Judah. So it could not have been the continuation of a priesthood that came from Levi. It is yet far more evident for that after the synod of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Now, I hope you can get this. He's saying that this priesthood offered physical things. He will not offer physical things. He will offer an endless sacrifice, not a temporary offering. Now, notice again. He says, for he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness of the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope by which we are drawn nigh unto God. Inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an hope. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, Lord swear, I will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For so much was Jesus made what? A surety of what? Of what? Come on, talk to me of what? Beautiful. Verse 23. And there truly were many priests because they were not allowed to continue by the reason of death. People died, then another took over, that, they went on and on. But this man, hallelujah, Can we take 24 together? But this man, because he continues forever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Now hold on. Hold on now. Hold on. That means Jesus was not a priest until he rose from the dead. Are we together now? Are we together? I thought this is so great salvation. It's all there. He became a priest when he rose up from the dead. I taught you in camp meeting. If you didn't come for camp meeting, too bad for your Christian life. Jesus, there are several things that we normally mix up. We mix up the resurrection from his ascension. There are two different things. When he rose from the dead, when he died, he didn't go to God. When he rose from the dead, God was not involved. When he rose from the dead, he came to the earth, because if he didn't come to the earth, that means he didn't rise from the dead. He rose from the dead physically, and people saw him. Mary Magdalene saw him. Said, "Don't touch me. I ascend to my God, my Father, your Father." So he went to God as the high priest. The high priest must not be found dead in the holiest of all. He must come alive. So Jesus goes there alive. And he offers an eternal offering. If he had offered the blood on Calvary's cross, that's not eternal. It has to be a blood of a resurrected Jesus. Are we together here? So he comes out of the grave alive, fully alive, and he goes to heaven. Then he comes back. Then he's here for 40 days. Then he goes now to sit. Two things. A priest and what? A king. Two different things. That have different meanings to our Christian walk. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. I know you may not. Well, he didn't come for camels. So, he says that he lives. His unchangeable priesthood is because he is alive forevermore. He did not live forevermore for 3.5 years because he died. But he rose up and is alive forevermore. Look at verse 25. Wherefore? Wherefore because he's alive forevermore. Let's take 25 together. Want to go? Wherefore is able also to save them. Seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. The word uttermost is the word completely and eternally. It always baffles me when people preach about losing salvation and they come to church and tell the Christian they can go to hell. It's an ignorant preacher that talks like that. Believers in Christ don't go to hell. People that go to hell are those that never believed in Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus, you are eternally saved. That is, what you have received has an effect yesterday, today, and forever. You don't lose salvation given by Jesus. Because you did not gain it. It's what you worked for that you can lose. What you didn't work for cannot be lost. It's offered to you on the platform of Jesus' blood. Look at 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, blameless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Let's say 27 together. One, two, go. As his own high priest, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did when? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When he offered up himself. So, is he still functioning as an high priest? He said yes. He said yes again. He said he offered it once. Having offered it, he now sat down. Oh, high priests don't sit down. You don't get that. High priests go in and they come out. When you read the fact that he's able to save, he's talking about he's sitting at the right hand of God. But he has gone into the holiest of all, and that is the work of the high priest done once and for all. If he has to do it daily, then that means what he offered was not perfect. Such that I can't meet him. What you have to repeat is not perfect. He didn't do this work. So he has done it once and for all. So he has an unchangeable priesthood. That is what he has offered. Don't forget, I told you that the priest ministers mediation. Are you together? Are we together here? So what he ministered is unchanging. It cannot be altered. It can never be altered. He has done it once and for all. Doesn't do it daily. Doesn't do it weekly. So if you say, Lord Jesus, help me talk to God. Jesus, talk to the Father for me. And like some think that Jesus is at the right hand of God. There are three thrones. Left hand is the Holy Spirit. Right is Jesus. Some people left hand is the devil. Right hand is Jesus. So when you commit a sin, and then Jesus now turns to the Father and says, Father, you know, it's not like that. You will change. That is, when? Jesus, this thing is getting too much. The Holy Spirit just says that he's like a dove. He just says, no, no, Papa, no, no, no. No, no. Always understand Bible language. What brought salvation and intercession has been done once for us. Hebrews 9. I'll start from verse 1. I'll read to 10. I'm going very fast. The very first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. The tabernacle made, the first, wherein was a candlestick, the table, the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. That's where the priests stayed. The priests, that first sanctuary. The candlestick, don't forget, that's the lampstand. The table, the shewbread, which is called the holy place. So they stop at the holy place. 3. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called what? The holiest of all. So there's the outer one, there's the inner one, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, now overlaid around about the gold with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. This was where the children went and then died. Over it, the cherubims of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now where these things were thus ordained, the priest went always in the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. So the priest went to the what? That's the first one. Okay? Verse 7. And unto the second, the high priest went what? Alone. You don't go there. The high priest. Alone. Once every year. Not without what? So where does the blood go to? The holiest of God. Which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while at the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time then present in which they were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as according to the conscience, which took only meats and drinks and divers washes and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Now this meats and drinks were taken to which of the tabernacles? The first. What goes into the second one? The blood. Very, very good. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, and it is not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, of goats and cows, but by what? But by what? Entered in, how many times? Into the holy place, having obtained what? Hallelujah. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from serving, from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. 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 Now look at verse 10. This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you because of time carried all through. Moreover, it's sprinkled with blood. He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Notice, this was done by someone. And almost all things that were by the law purged with blood, not without, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things were should be purified with this. But the heavenly things themselves with what? Better what? Better what? Beautiful. Now look at verse 24. Let's go together. Once you go, Christ is not entered into which were what? But where? To do what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has entered heaven itself once and for all. Is he still performing the work of an high priest? Huh? Talk to me now. No. That work has been done in that he offered himself. Now what you hear is blood. He's talking about himself into the holiest of all. That work has been done. You don't use blood. What are you doing with blood? I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. Oh, blood of Jesus. What are you doing? You are offering strange fire. The blood was for where? The holiest of all. Offered by one person. The high priest. There's only one high priest. And it's Christ Jesus. And he has offered his blood forever. Today, we are recipients of an eternal salvation, an eternal redemption, eternal intercession offered to us or given to us by Jesus Christ. Did you get something out of that? Huh? Put your hands, just bless the Lord. Thank you. He's faithful. He's faithful.